Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Democrats are ready to sit down and negotiate with Republicans right now. But it should be over legitimate issues, like how much do we invest in education, job training, and infrastructure. Unrelated ideological issues like Planned Parenthood. We need to set our sights higher than that. We need to reverse harmful cuts to middle-class economic priorities. Close loopholes that benefit only a fortunate few at the top. And invest more in the things that help our entire economy grow.
Because he stink.
There is nothing principled about the idea of another government shutdown.
Whew.
There's nothing patriotic about denying the progress you've worked so hard.
You know, I can't take him anymore. Turn off Fats Domino. I can't take him anymore either. You know, I can't sleep at night. In the middle of the night, I'm waking up and saying, where does this psychotic think he has the right, with the stroke of a pen, to override the people in the Congress on every issue? Now, last week it was 10,000 Muslims from Syria, allegedly Syria. Then it was 100,000 by Saturday morning. Then Kerry and the gangster say it's 200,000 Muslims. And I ask myself every day, where is Congress? Where is the government that is supposed to protect us from a psychopath, a retrovirus like this? I don't know where the government went. Then I wake up and I find out where the government went. Exactly where I knew it was. Right into a whiskey bottle. John Boehner, as you well know, is a drunk. I've been affectionately calling him Clink for 3 years. Then it came out he was a drunk. Nothing but a stooge drunk. And then to top it all off, Boehner, on dealing with conservatives, says the following. In an interview with the front group for the Obama camp, Politico, which is nothing but a front organization, a newsletter of the Obama sorority. In an interview with Politico, Boehner says, how do you deal with conservatives? So Boehner says, quote, garbage men get used to the smell of bad garbage. Prisoners learn how to become prisoners, all right? Boehner said in a phone interview this weekend from Seattle during a fundraising trip to the Pacific Northwest. So that's the drunk. He calls conservatives garbage. This is what we have for a government. This is how the psychopath, the retrovirus, can think he can just sweep in 200,000 Muslims. Now, I got to tell you something. Do you actually think that 200,000 Muslims are going to be it? First it was 10,000, then 100,000, then 200,000. Do you actually believe it? Now, the question is, how does he get away with it? The answer is, what can we, the people, do to stop him? Because stop him, he must be stopped. You understand that there's a communist revolution going on in front of your eyes. You say it's going on. What are you talking about? I don't see any red hats, and I don't see any shootings in Tiananmen Square. I don't see any re-education camps. You don't? No, you don't. Do you? Well, let me explain something to you. As I explained on Friday on my most brilliant show of 21 years, where I talked about Mao Zedong and the People's Republic of China, how they slowly brainwashed the people, how they took control of the people, how they started to beat people and control people. And I had a caller on Friday that stunned me. He had lived in China most of his life. And he said he got back 3 years ago, and he knew some of the Khmer Rouge. Those were the 10, 12, 13-year-old thugs who were used by the communists to beat up their teachers and their parents and then kill them. He said to me, you're 100% right, that Obama is exactly on the road of Mao Zedong. And he used the word Mao-bama, which I had coined several years ago. He didn't know that. Obama is a mad dictator. We have a system of government that is supposed to control mad dictators. It's called checks and balances. As you know, he neutralized the court. As you know, Roberts is being blackmailed, and that is why Roberts is no longer of any value, and the court itself is of no value. The Supreme Court is nothing. It's a stooge court that has no meaning. There is no Congress anymore. So we the people are stuck with a dictatorial government that consorts with dictators. Look at the Castros. The Cuba is a is a prison camp. The Pope, by the way, is also part of the program. The bouncer, I call him, because he started as a bouncer. And I know this is offensive to Marco Rubio, but Marco Rubio is perhaps the least qualified candidate in American history to have ever run for the presidency. He is a boy who was able to sell ice cream on a tricycle in Miami. That's about all he's equipped for. You wait until you hear what he said about the Pope. You're not going to, well, you will believe it, since you know Rubio is a stooge of Larry Ellison and those in technological industries that want cheap labor at all costs. They don't care what it does to America. You don't understand something else. Billionaires are psychotics by and large. It's what impels them to become billionaires. And their psychosis is such that they have a disease for profit. It's an actual mental disorder. You know how I say liberalism is a mental disorder? Well, these billionaires, in my opinion, like those who run Microsoft, Facebook, have another disease called the bottom line. It's an illness for which there is no cure. They also are supposed to be checked with taxation, but they're not. They don't pay regular taxes like you and I do. They receive it through the double Dutch, double Irish, double your flavor kind of taxation. And that's the opening to my show today. So before we go any further, I'd like to play It's a Long Day Night, Long Day's Night by the Beatles. I'll invite you to call at 855-407-282. I will fix my Telos, maybe. Right. Is anyone else dreaming about the communist revolution going on right in front of your eyes? See, it's a new communism. It's not the Marxism of 1916, 15, before the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a new form of communism. It's based upon several new methods, and I've described them all in previous books. I won't bore you with the details. And it's also a hot Monday across America. In fact, the heat here is overwhelming. It's like the summer of Sam in Northern California, which permits the alarmist gangsters to peddle their bill of goods. The alarmist gangsters who build railways to nowhere and make billions of dollars on the land sales along the railway lines are now peddling the global warmest lie in order to peddle the green energy lie as far as they can. And so the summer of Sam continues out here in California. We talked on Friday also, is Obama a Muslim? And I have to reiterate for you what I said. A, by patrilineal descent, he is a Muslim. And I do not know when he converted to Christianity, if he did, and I assume he did, because we have to take the president on his word, given that he's the most honest man in the history of the presidency. He said he's a Christian, so we accept him as a Christian. His father was a Muslim. His adopted father was a Muslim. He went to a Muslim religious school, but that unto itself is not a problem. I don't think you understand that. Whether he is a Muslim or not is not the issue. The question is, where are his allegiances and alliances? We know he's dedicated to the subversion of Western white European Judeo-Christian based democracy. Let me repeat that if you missed it. Whether he's a Muslim or not is not the issue. There are many Muslims who are fighting ISIS. He's not one of them. Obama is dedicated to subverting Western, white, Europeans, Judeo-Christian-based democracies. And he's tied directly to others in this Stalinist-style political correctness, which was discussed in great detail on Friday when I talked about Mao Zedong. And just on a kind of lighter, disgusting note, since I need to get your attention on this Monday, and frankly, it's so hot, it's hard to focus. I am using that evil air conditioning the Pope derides. I know there's no air conditioning on the papal plane. I realize there's no air conditioning in the papal quarters. I realize the Pope will not be in an air-conditioned UN. But I myself am an evil Westerner, and so I did crank up the air conditioning to fight the warming trend out here. And I apologize for using the fossil fuels to generate the air conditioning. But I got to say, I think that whoever invented air conditioning did far more for humanity than this bouncer from the Vatican has ever done or will ever do. He doesn't understand the first thing about economies or poverty. The Pope is a moron. He He is one of the stupidest people I've ever encountered in the history of the intellectual world. He is perhaps the dumbest man on earth. For him to read this garbage without even understanding what he's saying is unbelievable to me. Let's take his own country. Let's take the country that the bouncer came from. He came from Argentina. Argentina once had the world's 14th highest per capita GDP. It is now the 63rd because of the Pope's agenda for global regulatory norms. Exactly what was done in Argentina is what this psycho from the Vatican would like to do to the world. His own country is an example of what happens when the leftist university types are able to take control of a country. The capitalist commerce that the bouncer disdains is the reason that the portion of the planet's population living in poverty went down from 53% to 17% in the 30 years since 1981. Even in countries which have almost no income, according to economist Indore Goklani, life expectancy increased, went up from between 25 to 30 years in 1900 to 62 years today as a result of capitalism. It's unbelievable to me that this liar can get away with this. How in the world can the Catholic Church permit this lunatic to lie like this? He himself is the worst thing in the history of Catholicism in terms of the thinking Catholic. Look, the illiterate morons who will embrace religion, no matter who peddles it to them, are not going to even understand what this idiot is saying. So for them, he's popular. Do you understand that most idiots don't understand science? So if you get a guy like this, a goofball like this, talking about global warming and saying it's God's will that you don't use air conditioning, you don't do that, they believe him. What do they know? They go in there like the sheep they are and throw money in the till and kick it upstairs to the Vatican. It's a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme, like all religions are, a giant Ponzi scheme. You want me to get started on religion? Get me started on religion, because I'll start with Catholicism, and I won't end there. But I'll do it another time. We keep hearing about Muslims and Islam and radical Islam. How about radical Catholicism as practiced by Jesuits? We keep hearing about radical Islam and the danger radical Islam poses to the world. Well, now you see what this man is, this Francis guy, who is just a man. I don't understand how Rubio could say a thing like he's a descendant of God. I don't understand this. He says that, he's a descendant of God. He has to respect him. What do you mean you have to respect? You have to respect a lying idiot? You have to respect the man who wants to take away your freedoms? No, Marco, you don't respect the man who wants to take your freedoms. He is the supreme zero. He is part of government zero. And I'm speaking about my most important book called Government Zero, which is still not available to you except on Amazon. I am jumping up and down, and I'm saying to the publisher, release the damn thing. It should have been out on the day of the Republican debates, but it won't be out for another month. I finally made them send me tear sheets of Government Zero because I couldn't wait any longer. I know I'm going off too soon, and I explained what is Government Zero. But most importantly today, and I'm not going to read it to you, I'm going to wait for the book is out so you can flood the bookstores and send the message to the media that you exist, that you're not garbage, that you're not a stooge of the Pope. I have a full 8,000-word chapter on the Pope, who he is, and I call him Pope Zero because he is the beginning of the end of the Catholic Church. Now, you have to understand there are many different Catholics just as there are many different segments of the Muslim population. We keep hearing that most Muslims want radical Islam eliminated. We keep hearing that most Muslims are not radicals. I have to believe that, or else everybody would be blowing up everybody at all times. So that's on the face of it is true. Do you believe that all Catholics believe the lies being spewed by this Jesuit? Do you actually believe that the Jesuit represents Catholic values? No, he's a radical Catholic. So we're going to use a new phrase on the show that is sure to get the Catholic League upset. And we're going to use the phrase radical Catholic, because there are radical Catholics just as there are radical Muslims. This man is a radical Catholic out of touch with reality, who is extremely dangerous. And when I return, I'll talk about the retrovirus in the White House, in cahoots with the radical Catholic and the Vatican right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, we are talking about the dangerous times we live in, where the retrovirus in the White House is so out of control and so drunk on his power that on Friday he announces 10,000 Muslims will be brought in from Syria. Then by Saturday morning, it's 100,000. By Sunday morning, it's 200,000. And the drunk on the other side of the aisle doesn't even belch. Not a word from Boehner the drunk. Just dancing around on the fundraising circuit. The Republicans are worthless. I don't understand the Republican Party. I mean, there are women out there who write to me who are Republicans. Do you not know what your own party has become? How could you not revolt? Then you have the Catholics. Where are the educated Catholics to stand up to this radical Catholicism that has emerged under the Jesuit Pope? Now, I want to go back to the big story of immigration for 1 minute. Here's the best thing ever written on it. Immigrants helped build this country into the greatest nation on earth. I believe that every human being has a natural right to leave the country he or she is born in and seek a better life in another. But that right has the same natural limit that all rights have. Quote, the limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others, close quote, as Jefferson so eloquently put it. Among other things, that means you do not have a right to immigrate to another country carrying a potentially deadly disease that could harm the people living there. You don't have a right to enter the country illegally and subvert its constitution. Most obviously, you don't have a right to immigrate into a country for the express purpose of killing its citizens or overthrowing its government. And then I talk about the flood of illegals from the southern border and why they're importing voters like this who are ignorant of the language, especially voters from Muslim and socialist countries, to kill us slowly through the erosion of our legal traditions, language, and culture. All in Government Zero. Only available on Amazon now. Sorry to tell you. I'll be back to talk about the Jesuit.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, now we're going to turn to Zero Religion, or Lenin's Pope, in Chapter 8 of Government Zero, my forthcoming book. And I'll read you pieces of it, because I think it's very well written and there's information you've never heard anywhere before. But I hope you didn't miss what I said about immigration, because no one has said what I said as succinctly or as perfectly. Everyone has something to say about illegal immigration, but no one said it like I did and as succinctly. Immigrants help build this country into the greatest nation on earth. That's a given. I believe that every human being has a natural right to leave the country he or she is born in and seek a better life in another. That's a given. Except in Cuba and North Korea. Well, you can't leave. That's why the Pope fits right into Cuba. That's why Obama loves Cuba, because no one can leave it. But then I go on and say, but that right has the same natural limit that all rights have, which is the limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others, as Jefferson so eloquently put it. Do you understand that? Has anyone ever said that? No, Michael Savage did. Now let's move on to Zero Religion, Lenin's Pope. But before we do, I'm going to show you that the Pope is actually conducting a war on actual religion. I know that's a paradox for many of you true believers, but you don't understand it. The leftist mentality that the Pope is espousing is actually a war on religion itself. He may not even understand it. He looks like he's half senile to me. He's reading the writings of lunatics that are around him. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't even think it's coming from him. We even have the names in Lenin's Pope of who's writing this, these leftist encyclicals for him. They have names. They're lifetime Marxists. They're not even religious. They practice whatever they practice. Who knows what? So before we begin, we have to go to the Republican debates, where one of the shallowest men in the history of politics was up on the stage with the others. A child named Marco Rubio. Sounds like a child. Speaks like a child. Listen to this childish idiocy that he espoused over the weekend about the, I think this was about the Pope. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a Roman Catholic. For me, the Pope is a successor of Peter. He's the spiritual head of the church who has authority to speak on matters, doctrinal matters, and theological matters. And I follow him 100% on those issues. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a Roman Catholic. And so I believe that deeply. The Pope, as an individual, an important figure in the world, also has political opinions. And those, of course, we are free to disagree with. He obviously opines about his views of the church's role or the what we should be doing with the climate or things of this nature on the economics. Those are issues that that the church talks about as regards to their social teachings, or the way you balance government with society. On the social teachings...
Right, turn him on. I can't even listen to this. If he was a student of mine, I would send him out for a shot of Ritalin. I'd say, look, you better go visit the school psychologist. Your medication is low. By the way, the sound was hard to listen to because it was a dual track. I heard music, actually, behind it. Am I imagining that, Robert? Was there music playing behind that piece? I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Oh, background noise from the network. Okay. Okay. Zero Religion, Lenin's Pope from Government Zero. I'll read you a paragraph because the book is only available on Amazon. Where do I begin? Hitler's Pope? Well, I actually talked about that. And I defended Pope Benedict XVI, by the way. Did you know that? Did you know that I, Michael Savage, defended Pope Benedict XVI? And I talked about how the left smeared that Pope? So I am a great admirer of the Catholic religion. And I can tell that there are differences. I tell you there are many differences between one Pope to the other. And he was a wonderful Pope. Pope Pius saved many Jews from the Holocaust. He was actually called the mouthpiece of Jewish war criminals by the Nazis themselves. And he was mourned as a hero by Jews all over the world upon his death in 1958, something that many Jews don't know today. Pius was mourned as a hero by Jews all over the world upon his death. That's something that the professional Jewish organizations don't even know themselves. So I said the leftists attacked him. They called him Hitler's Pope, and that was to drive their agenda to the left. And I said that the Pope and his influence over billions of Catholics stands in the way of their plans for a godless socialist world order. So in addition to attacking religion in every public space, they attack the Pope when doing so meets their needs. That was then, this is now. And here's where I go. Politicizing the papacy. That has certainly not been the case with Pope Francis. Pope Francis is different because he is not a spiritual leader. He is a political operative with all the earmarks of having been handpicked for his office, the way French President Francois Hollande or our own dear leader Obama was picked for theirs. It wouldn't be the first time the Vatican has been occupied by a political rather than a spiritual leader. The papacy is 2,000 years old. It has had good periods and bad periods, as has any long-standing institution run by imperfect human beings. There were popes who were honest, wise, and deeply spiritual, and others who were morons, scoundrels, or worse. There were times when the papacy was the spiritual center of the Catholic faith, and times when it was little more than a political office, complete with rule over large areas of land, and armies commanded by the Pope to enforce that rule. Pope John XII was definitely an example of the latter. He was simultaneously the secular prince of Rome and the Pope, but he acted more like the pagan Roman emperor Caligula. He was accused of turning the sacred palace into a whorehouse, fornicating with several women there, including his own niece, and then blinding his confessor. He put deviant liberals in Hollywood to shame. Pope John was eventually deposed as both ruler of Rome and Pope, but subsequently regained both offices, brutally mutilating prisoners captured in his victory. He is said to have died in the act of committing adultery. Pope Benedict IX was also accused of rape, murder, and other atrocities, while Pope Boniface VIII demolished several towns while feuding with a powerful family. The ironically named Pope Innocent IV tortured heretics, including Galileo, for the heresy of claiming the earth revolved around the sun. Were the church not nourished by the Holy Spirit, it might never have survived some of its darker times. But it did survive. And in modern times, the church and the papacy have concerned themselves much more with saving souls than politics. That's not to say the Pope should have no political opinions at all. Pope Pius XI, who was actually the sitting Pope when the Reichskonrat was signed, said, quote, when politics come near the altar, then religion, the church, the pontiff have not only the right but the duty to give direction and indications to be followed by Catholics. When politics come near the altar means when governments infringe upon or attempt to influence the church on spiritual matters. That's precisely the opposite of the Pope using his position as spiritual leader to influence politics, but that's what Pope Francis has been doing. Not only has he abused the trust placed in him for political purposes, he sold out to the socialists who'd love to abolish all religion if they could get away with it. Pope Pius XII was wrongly called Hitler's Pope. The charge didn't fit the facts, as the author who wrote the book eventually admitted himself. But Pope Francis can very appropriately be called Lenin's Pope. Let's consider the facts supporting that charge. And I'll pause right there from Government Zero, and I'll let you buy the book and give it to a Catholic friend. In fact, if it was a just world, as many intelligent Catholics as there are intelligent Mormons who bought another talker's books in the millions because they at least put their money where their mouth is, I can't say that for my Jewish listeners who, so far as I know, have not supported me very well. I would beg my Catholic listeners who know what this Pope is to make certain that you buy a copy for a Catholic friend who does not know who this Pope is before it is too late. Government Zero on Amazon. That's all I can say. All I can do is write the book. No one has written as succinctly as I have what we're facing right now. And I knew this day would come. I knew this man would come here. I knew that he would sway millions with his mesmerizing powers. I knew that politicians would get on their hands and knees and bow down to him. And I knew there'd be very few voices of protest. I raised my voice in protest against this most dangerous of popes in our lifetime. And I rest my case at that. We'll get back to this, believe me, over the coming weeks and months. And he'll be here soon, and you're not going to believe what you're about to see. So let's go to some callers on this or other topics. Kevin's been holding on the issue of Syria and Russia. Kevin, line four, please make your point. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. My point is I don't understand why people sit back and think that Russia is coming into Syria just to uphold Assad's broken-down regime. I think that's a pipe dream. Sounds to me like straight out of Revelations. And as far as the Pope goes, what you were talking about sounds like...
Wait, let's stick to Syria, because I think the Syria-Russia thing is a change from the Pope. Would you have us go to war with Russia? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I don't think that...
There's your answer. Obama's not going to go to war with Putin. You know, let's talk about Russia and Syria for a moment. One thing you can say about Mr. Putin is that he doesn't abandon his allies, unlike your leader, Barack Obama, who always abandons his allies. Obama has no character. He abandons his allies as quickly as a snake sheds his skin, or as often as a snake sheds his skin. Putin knows that Syria is his ally, and they're not giving up the seaports that they built, and they're rebuilding right now, simply because Barack Obama wants them to go away. Now, that having been said, this is a very interesting puzzle that very few people have figured out. But I was onto this 6 months ago or 9 months ago. I kept asking myself, why is ISIS allowed to build and rage? Why is the United States not taking ISIS out? Why is Jordan and Egypt? Why are they fighting ISIS and Obama will not give them heavy weapons? And the longer I thought about it, I was puzzled. I couldn't understand we'd let neo-Nazis like this. Nazis, you want to call them whatever you want. National socialism is the same as Islamofascism when you think about it, just wrapped in a headscarf. But it's no different than what Hitler did. Raping, murdering, pillaging, selling people on the auction block, burning and looting and setting people afire while they're alive. Blowing up Palmyra, one of those wonders of the world, without a word from Jerry Brown. Worried about global warming, Jerry, are you? Why don't you talk about what your friends in ISIS have done in Palmyra and what they're doing to churches, Jerry? Then I'll believe a word that comes out of your claptrap. Anyway, so we go back to Russia. So something you have to understand is ISIS is a factotum army of the United States and Israel. And I'm a supporter of Israel, but I'm sorry, Israel's all wrong. Israel made the calculation that they wouldn't have to lift a finger or fire a shot to take down Assad, their last great enemy in the Middle East, they think, supporter of Hezbollah. They can bring down Assad without lifting a finger or flying one sortie by letting ISIS do it for them. And so that's why Israel never fired a shot against ISIS. That's why ISIS has not attacked Israel. Can't put two and two together and say, well, wait a minute, come on, that's a stretch. Why? Because you haven't heard from the Jewish National Committee? You mean because the Zionist Organization of America hasn't sent out a newsletter saying it? This is one man's opinion. This is how I see it. This is my analysis on the world's chessboard. So now, all of a sudden, just as ISIS is threatening Assad finally to take the capital, in comes Putin, and they say, no, you're not taking Syria. You're not going to get control of Syria. We're going to take control of Syria. We're going to destroy you. And guess who their ally is? Russia and Iran are now out to destroy ISIS. Say, how could that be? Why would Iran want to destroy ISIS? Because Iran is primarily a Shiite nation. ISIS is primarily Sunnis, remnants of the old guard of Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Old enemies going back 800 or 1,000 years. So you've got Russia and Iran now allied to take down ISIS. The United States is in a quandary because it's allegedly going, doesn't know which side to be on. It pretended it was against ISIS, but now it has to join Russia and Iran in taking down ISIS. They don't know what to do. The sorority never encountered anything like this at Harvard. They didn't teach them this at Bryn Mawr. They didn't teach them this at Princeton. They didn't teach them this in women's studies. They didn't teach them this at Georgetown or any of the other denizens of lower living. So the sorority does not know what to do. They've been put into a box. But make no mistake about it, Russia is there. They're rebuilding the naval base. They flew in fighter jets. We are not going to fight Russia for two reasons. One, because Obama doesn't have the will. Two, because the army would lose. Our army today would lose in a war against Russia. That's how much he has decimated our U.S. military. There are only so many people that you can destroy in a military and still have a functioning military. Now, this has been a very long segment on Lenin's Pope and my analysis of the situation in Syria. I realize it's an awful lot for a Monday, but what's the difference if it's Monday or Wednesday or Tuesday or Friday? What's the difference if it's September, October, November, or December? Either you have an analysis that's worth speaking about, and people like what you say or they don't like what you say, but you have to say it. We are living in the most dangerous times in modern American history with an absolute raging, out-of-control, power-mad maniac in the White House who goes from 10,000 to 100,000 to 200,000 Muslims in a two-day period because there's no opposition. Tell me who is posing a greater threat to America, Vladimir Putin or Barack Obama? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the media is attacking Donald Trump for asking, not saying anything about his Obama, a Muslim, to a staged caller. Well, I don't know why that's an illegitimate question. His middle name is Hussein, and he doesn't seem to be too American in his belief systems. But as I've said before, it doesn't matter whether he is a practicing Muslim or not. The issue is, what is his ideology? The ideology is certainly not capitalism, nor is it American. He is dedicated to subverting Western, white, European, Judeo-Christian democracy. Or shall I say democracies? And the greatest forces opposing Western, Judeo, Christian, particularly white democracies are radical Islam and radical Catholicism in their current manifestations. In other words, the new Marxism, the new emerging Soviet Union of the world. And what's ironic here is one of the greatest opponents of the emerging world USSR is Russia. Russia is the last egg that they can't seem to break to create this new dictatorship, this world dictatorship centered in Brussels. One man's opinion, the Savage Nation. Yeah, one man's opinion. Am I allowed to express it, or shall you get outraged?
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You have radicals that are doing things. I mean, it wasn't people from Sweden that blew up the World Trade Center. You have extremist Muslims that are in a class by themselves. I mean, they are. It is a problem in this country, and it's a problem throughout the world.
Blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
Obama, no. It's Trump, the Charlemagne of our time. Welcome to the Savage Nation. He's actually not a reincarnation of anyone. And the reason he is hated by the communist Marxist drug addicts in the media is obvious. He's saying everything that needs to be said. Ideas that were long suppressed, ideas you've only heard on radio shows like mine, or read on blogs, or on certain great websites. Finally, we have someone speaking for we the people. We are the majority. Make no mistake about it, we are the majority. It's not the drug addicts at the Emmys Awards. It's not the children who went to the High School of Performing Art who are drug addicts but very talented little robots. The little puppets of Hollywood are certainly not known for their thinking, are they? They're known for using drugs and abusing themselves and winding up in rehab. So they have a thing called the Emmys last night, the lowest attendance in history. And some moron they gave an Emmy to right away attacks Trump as a racist. Oh, how exciting. What she learned that? Well, what course did she learn that in? Who taught it to her? Was it Geffen, Katzenberg? Was it one of the stooges at CAA who said, here's what you got to say? Who wrote the script for her? Right away, racist. Anyone says one word that veers out of the party line, Mao Tse-tung, anyone? Out of the party line, communism, anyone? Anyone who dares speak outside the party line, communism, Marxism, Leninism, anyone? You get it? Now you understand what you mean by political correctness and why Trump is resonating. Because we the people know that we have one last shot to save the country, and it's him. The rest of them don't even matter. Although, I would vote for any Republican except Rubio over any Democrat. Rubio is a, don't get me started. But let's not go into that. Rubio's not the problem, nor is he the solution. If you just tuned in, you missed a great hour. My opening Monday was good. It took me a little while to get where I wanted to go, but I explained to you who the Jesuit is in the Vatican. I explained to you who the retrovirus is in the White House. I explained to you what's going on in the world, and I explained it in ways that you haven't heard it before in original language. Quoting from my great forthcoming book called Government Zero, which is only available right now on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. It should be out in a month. And I implore all Catholics who are thinking people to buy the book just for the chapter on Lenin's Pope. Maybe, just maybe, you can save one Catholic from being sucked down into the vortex that this Pope is pulling the whole church. How's that for a little a lingo? You like that? The vortex? Yeah, Vortex, Wichita Sutra. Vortex, Wichita Sutra. Vortex, Roma Sutra. Vortex, Roma Sutra. Anyway, Pope Francis doesn't understand how to alleviate poverty. George Will, who had ceased being relevant in 1991, suddenly came back with blazing guns and wrote one of the most brilliant analysis of Pope Francis's communism, Marxism, Leninism, whatever you want to call it. In the most succinct article ever by George Will since 1991 finally appeared. I know the guy saved himself with this in the National Review. And I know you can read it for yourself. And I won't quote the whole article, but some of it is worth reading. And people occasionally, he goes on to Francis, who I affectionately called a bouncer because he was not born divinely. Francis is actually a man, whether you know it or not. I know many of you don't know that. But Pope Francis was actually born of a woman. He was not divinely created somewhere in heaven and then put into the Vatican. He was born of a mother and a father. But he doesn't even understand that the communism that he grew up in his native Argentina would actually devastate the poor on whose behalf he pretends to speak. And George Will says it best. Some of his woolly sentiments that have the intellectual tone of fortune cookies are these, such as people occasionally forgive, but nature never does. And George Will writes, the Vatican's majesty does not disguise the vacuity of this. Is Francis intimating that environmental damage is irreversible? He neglects what technology has accomplished regarding London's air. And then he says, the earth is becoming an immense pile of filth. Hyperbole is a predictable precursor of yet another UN climate change conference, the 21st since 1995. Fortunately, Will writes, rhetorical exhibitionism increases as its effectiveness diminishes. And he goes on to what Francis has to say attacking air conditioning. And he says, the church that thought it was settled science, that Galileo was heretical, should be attentive to all evidence. That's a hell of a line. Jerry Brown should pay careful attention to that since he himself is a fellow Jesuit. Did you? Oh, you didn't know that? You didn't know that Jerry Brown and the Pope practiced the same economics? The church that thought it was settled science, that Galileo was heretical, should be attentive to all evidence. And then he attacks excessive compulsive consumption and talks about air conditioning, which is a sin. And that's why he jets around in his air-conditioned jet and praises subsistence farming while noshing on probably a lasagna somewhere in the air. He said, it's a romance best enjoyed from 30,000 feet above the realities that such farmers yearn to escape. And he goes on. And the most important part of this thing about the bouncer from Rome is Francis's Argentina, where Argentina once had the 14th highest per capita GDP. It's now 63rd as a result of Francis's agenda for the planet. Now, there's the same agenda of redistributing wealth that they've been practicing in the country in which he grew up. When he'd like to do it to the world, will bring the GDP down to around the world. And he says, as the world spurns his church's teachings about abortion, contraception, divorce, homosexual marriage, and other matters, Francis jointly makes his church congruent with the secular religion of sustainability. It's pretty well written, and it's beautiful. He stands against modernity, rationality, science, and ultimately the spontaneous creativity of open societies, in which people and their desires are not problems but precious resources. Americans cannot simultaneously honor him and celebrate the nation's premises. Beautifully put, George Will, congratulations. Not that he cares, of course. He's so above me that it wouldn't matter whether Michael Savage praised him. He's way above all of us, you see. I also talked about Syria and Russia, which I'm not going to repeat myself again, but I'll take some calls now. And before we do, here's a few other stories that I didn't get to. New York Times, of all places, published this, which was shocking. U.S. soldiers told to ignore Afghan allies' rape of boys. At night, we hear them screaming, but we're not allowed to do anything about it. Oh, really? Are Afghan allies rape young boys as part of their culture? Yeah. So when U.S. soldiers try to stop them, they were threatened with court-martial by the useless idiots in the Pentagon. Useless, a Pentagon. Could you imagine what it's become? It's more like a pentagram rather than a Pentagon. Under Barack Obama, the Pentagon has become a pentagram. In his last phone call home, Lance Corporal Gregory Buckley Jr. told his father what was troubling him. From his bunk in southern Afghanistan, he could hear Afghan police officers sexually abusing boys they had brought to the base. At night, we can hear them screaming, but we're not allowed to do anything about it, the Marine's father, George Buckley Sr., recalled his son telling him before he was shot to death at the base in 2012. Really? You mean his commanding officers let him be fracked because he was reporting on homosexual rape? He urged his son to tell his superiors. My son said that his officers told him to look the other way because it's their culture. Well, maybe the whole culture of the Army soon, given Obama's recent appointment. Rampant sexual abuse of children has long been a problem in Afghanistan, particularly among armed commanders who dominate much of the rural landscape and can bully the population. The practice is called baka bazi, literally boy play, and American soldiers and Marines have been instructed not to intervene. In some cases, not even when their Afghan allies have abused boys on U.S. military bases, according to interviews and court records. So there's Obama's new army. Just let the boy play go on. And the band played on. 855-400-7282. Let's take some calls. Let's go to WJR Detroit. Raymond, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, my name is Raymond Gordon. I'm a former Catholic priest. I spoke to you about 4 or 5 months ago in defense of Archbishop Corleone and his insistence on church teachings in San Francisco.
Oh, our San Francisco Archbishop who has been pilloried and destroyed by the vermin in San Francisco, the top businessmen?
Well, I've since left the ministry for personal reasons, but the last sermon I gave was about a month ago, and I moved into criticism of the Pope for exactly the reasons that you've been talking about. And my argument was, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, shrinking congregations, the scandals, no money, this kind of stuff, and we don't have a spiritual leader. We have a politician. And, you know, the thing with the Pope is, like, you never know who they're going to become once they're elected. It's always a surprise, and there's always optimism when a Pope is elected because, you know, you want fresh meat.
Hold on. I disagree with you. He was the first non-European Pope selected in 1,200 years or 1,400 years. They damn well knew what they were getting, given his background, given the country he came from. They knew they were getting Reverend Wright from Rome.
Okay, I can agree with that, too, but, I mean,
they were picking Reverend Wright from Rome, another salesman of Marxism.
Right, but now...
All right, so where does this end up? Let's move it along, please.
Okay, he's off the chain, and there really is no stopping him because he has the papal authority to do what he wants.
That's correct. He has the authority, and most of the morons in the church, the uneducated dolts who are illiterate, love him because they're sheeple, and they go along with it. They go along with it because they're too stupid to even understand what he's saying. They think he's actually the son of God. I understand what religion is. I understand how it works. But let's not lose what I said in the last hour, which I think is important to remember. We all of us, and rightly so, focus on and criticize radical Islam. Do we not? Well, I think it's time we focused on radical Catholicism, and for that matter, radical Judaism, because there are radical Jews as well. Unfortunately, I mean, fortunately for the world, there aren't that many Jewish people, so they're not really a threat. But radical Catholicism is a real threat to world stability, especially when this radical wants to drag us into a sort of global prison camp of lies. And on that note, I'll say to you, Father, stay on the line, we'll get your name, and the minute that Government Zero comes out, I'll make sure you get one of the first printings. Oh, I wish I could get every priest of dissents. I wish I could buy them for them and give them. Wait a minute, I just got an idea. Parishioners, why don't you buy a copy of Government Zero right now for your priest before it's too late? Maybe we can save the world through the church. Maybe we could just save the world through the church. Since the pollution of Marxism is emanating from Rome right now, the Vatican in particular, maybe we can counter it with a series of concentric circles coming from the truth, the core of truth itself. You know, what is truth? I want to talk about what is truth for a quick second. Everyone says that they know the truth. What is truth? How do we know what truth is? Well, let's look at poverty in Argentina before the redistribution policies were put in place. It was much lower. Wherever these redistribution policies are put in place, poverty increases. It doesn't decrease. So all of these leftist ideals professed by college teachers who've never held a job don't work in real life. That explains the absurdity of Bernie Sanders. He looks like what he is. What you see is what you get. You get a loser, a 10th-rate loser who could only bamboozle the fools in Vermont. Now look where he is. Take a look where he is now. Why is Trump so popular? Why is he so successful? Why is he so rich? Because he knows reality and he knows truth. Bernie Sanders wouldn't know reality if he tripped over it. Bernie Sanders only knows how to stir people up and make people hate each other. As I said, Donald's hat says Make America Great Again. I'm going to make up a new hat for Bernie Sanders called Make America Hate Again. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Breaking news on the Savage Nation, long overdue. Scott Walker said to be quitting presidential race. I wish it was already down to Trump, and let's get the debates on already. Can we move the elections up or something before he brings in another 2 million people from Syria or wherever to vote? Why don't we hold the elections earlier? Since Obama could do things with the stroke of a pen, why can't we, the people, do something with the stroke of our power? Anyway, it's just a joke. Just a joke. So he's out. Who's left now? Rubio, Fiorina. I love the media after the debates. She's the big winner. What big winner? What'd she do? She stood up for herself. That made her the big winner? They're dying to do anything except Trump. Now, they hated Carson. They dismissed him for a year. They made him into a mockery. Then all of a sudden, they fell in love with Carson. Now, they don't love. First, they hated Carson. Then they loved Carson. Now that Carson says something about Muslims, they hate Carson again. And we're supposed to believe a word that comes out of the mouths of these woodpeckers. Jake Woodpecker. He has the brains of a wood. Woodpecker has more brains than Jake Tapper. Tries to. I don't know why Trump even goes on that idiot show. I would stay away from that dead bird. I don't think it's my obligation to defend Obama, whether he's a Muslim. We did that Friday. Then Carson says Islam is inconsistent with the Constitution. All right, play that one. Let's hear 12. That's
well, I guess it depends on what that faith is. If it's inconsistent with the values and principles of America, then of course it should matter. But if it fits within the realm of America and consistent with the Constitution, no problem.
So do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution?
No, I don't. I do not. I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
Oh, boy. Well, there goes the atheist now. There goes Chuck Todd, the beard for Obama. Grew a beard and suddenly became a genius. Another one. Oh, he stepped right in. He got the brownie points. Now Chuck Todd gets the access again. An invitation to the White House. Did his job like a good little boy. He brought down Carson. Good job, Chuck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Oh, the brave men of the media. George Staphylococcus, Chuck the Beard Todd. Just such brave men, so brazen. So daring, just like the founding fathers themselves. Not one word of Hillary Clinton and the money in the Clinton Foundation. Not one word out of these smoke mouths is good. Nothing comes out of their mouths. They hiss smoke to cover up the truth. Not one word about Hillary's email scandal, what's on the emails. Not one word about the missing hundreds of millions. Nothing. Zero. Oh, but they're brave to attack Ben Carson when he utters the word Muslim. Donald Trump, to them, the new Hitler. Because he represents the white male heterosexual Christian. You would think, wouldn't you think Chuck Todd is a white male heterosexual Christian? Wouldn't you think George Staphylococcus is a white male? Well, they're of European heritage. You think they have some pride in their own heritage? Their fathers, their grandfathers, would you think? No, because they wouldn't have gotten where they are if they did. Only by disavowing the religion and the belief system of their ancestors can they get where they are by working for the new Leninism. They are part of the new Reich. I used that Friday and people got offended. They said, oh, why'd you say that they're members of the new Reich? That has such eerie connotations. I said, don't have eerie connotations. If you're illiterate, you immediately associate the word Reich with Hitler. But if you have even a semblance of curiosity and you investigate the origins of the word Reich, and when I say that Stephopoulos and Sora, whatever their names are, Todd, they're all members of the government media complex, I used to call it. Now I call it the government, the new Reich, the the World Reich that's emerged. Reich means realm, territory, kingdom, or empire. And if you tell me Megyn Kelly is not the female head of the new Reich, I would disagree with you. That's all. Move on. Next question. So here are the questions written up for today's show. All the weekend news shows were pushing the attack on Trump, not defending Obama. And we've been talking about the Maoism running through Obama's administration. Should a Muslim ever be president of the United States? Was the questioner at the Trump town hall a setup to trap Trump? Are Trump and Carson overplaying their hands on the Muslim controversy? Will the narrative of a Muslim presidency catch on the same way the illegal immigration narrative did? Is Trump helping the Repubs or hurting the Repubs in driving the media to topics they would never touch? What effect will the Leninist Pope's visit have on you during the next few days? Will the Pope being here in person make his message resonate with the American sheeple? Why is the so-called Pope, I mean the Pope, turning a blind eye to the torture and political imprisonment going on with an earshot while he visits the concentration camp of Cuba? The hypocritical Pope is running his attacks on capitalism in the West while in Cuba. Is the Obama administration using the current controversies over Trump and the Pope to find a way to get more Syrian refugees into the United States? No kidding. Russia is showing strength and flexing muscle in Syria. Are you worried more over Obama's non-reaction, or are you worried about what Putin may actually do? Even leftists are starting to complain about the lack of real debates from the Democrat side. Do you think anything will change? No, because they have no control whatsoever. The Politburo controls the Democrat Party, and only what the boss in the Politburo wants to happen happens. So no, there will be no debates. She could debate a computer, and her ratings would go up, and just give out that laugh that can take the paint off a car. Whenever Hillary laughs, I think the paint on my car crinkles up a little bit, and it's pretty good paint. Didn't we have two terms of Bill Clinton? What do you expect to happen in the third term of Bill Clinton? Well, I don't even care, actually. It's irrelevant. I know this. I know that if it was a fair debate between Trump and Hillary, she'd walk away embarrassed. She couldn't hold a candle to this guy. This guy on the left, whatever his name is, the commie Bernie Sanders, he doesn't have a ghost's chance in you know where to get anywhere. He's only being used to make her look more centrist, or he wouldn't have lasted a day. Come on. Open your eyes. The Politburo's controlling that stooge. So by him espousing the idiocy of the far left, it makes her leftist viewpoints look centrist. That's why they're letting the crumpled lunatic run around, the 1930s tie salesman from the Bronx. So, yeah, and here's the thing that really, the part that I love the most. Here is a guy, Bernie Sanders, I'm sure he's going to meet the Pope, because their Marxism is in accord. Here is a guy who's a lifetime atheist. They call him a non-practicing Jew. Non-observant. Watch how he genuflects in front of the Pope. This is going to be the funniest thing. The funniest thing is you can see all of the atheists who hated the Catholic Church for so many decades genuflecting to the bouncer when he gets here. Wait till you see them kowtow, and it'll be like almost a ritual out of a Chinese drama to watch them genuflect in front of the Pope. They don't know how to behave. They don't know whether he's divine, whether he was born of man or of God. They have no idea what to do, so they're going to like ask people. The sorority is probably printing up a book, a protocol on how to behave in front of the Pope. When the Holy Father arrives, don't touch him. Make certain you don't make any eye contact. Make believe he's Bill Clinton or a Hollywood star and you're just a maid. When in the same presence with the Holy See, make certain you do not brush against any of his dust. Blah, blah, blah. Do not offer him a drink. Under no circumstance refer to his years as a bartender trying to make accord with him. Never ever refer to him as anything but Pope, Mr. Pope. Can we say Mr. Pope? Can we call him the Pope? Do we address him as Pope? What do we call him? No, you always say His Holiness, same way as you refer, as you reference the President, always His Holiness, same league. I don't know what the mimeograph sheets would look like. I would suspect some of that is being put out by the sorority right now. All right, where do you want to go? It's 40 minutes after hour number two. I've been at this for an hour and a half. We've covered, I think, the stories that are really important. Lenin's Pope, I read from Government Zero. I asked all Catholics with a college education to buy a copy for their mates or, let's say, members of the family who don't read and are ignoramuses, the worshipers of this Pope. If you care about the church, I suggest you buy Government Zero on Amazon right now. When it comes out in the bookstore, go buy it. Late October. I wish it was out last week, but hey, it's a long way to go, so I'm not going to sit here talking about my book till October. But you do have to know, I finally got my tear sheets, and it's really better than I thought it was. It's not like I forgot what I wrote, but I worked so hard on it, I kind of forgot the painting. Yeah, I forgot the painting. You know what I think I want to do right now is I want to, like, move in another direction. I was up late last night. I'm not complaining. That's not a complaint. I don't complain that much, really. I've had luck. I've gotten everything I wanted out of life. It took a lot longer than I thought it would. A lot longer. Like about 40 years longer than I thought it would. Maybe 45 years longer. But I got there. I always knew that if I stuck to it. I always had like a Chinese view of life, which is never give up. Just the long march. My life has been the long march. No matter what the obstacles or impediments, keep going. And by the way, yesterday as I was coming out of a restaurant, I saw a poor crippled boy, man, in his 20s with legs that were broken at birth, with his mother and his brother. And I looked at him and I prayed to God and I said, thank you, God, for giving me health. Thank you, God, and bless that boy. And I said, God, I will never, ever complain again. You have to understand how lucky you are if you have all of your faculties. You really have to thank God for it. I mean, that's all I can say to you. It's an amazing thing to understand what could happen to us at any second. And how lucky we are if we just can breathe without pain, walk without pain, sleep without pain. What a miracle it really is. So there are things all around us to remind us how lucky we really are. Yes, we're living through extremely dangerous, dark times. Yes, we're living through a minor dictatorship that can get very bad. It can metastasize overnight into something much worse, unless the madman is stopped. Because I said Friday it was 10,000 Syrian Muslims. Then by Saturday morning, it was 100,000. Then by Sunday, him and Kerry, the other madman, said 200,000. What is to stop these maniacs from bringing in 2 million Syrians or Abkhazians? Well, no one even knows where they're coming from. And why, if they're all running from war-torn Syria, are 70% of them men of military age, not women and children? What are they coming here for? What's he building, an army? Another army? Another one coming in? To an army of voters? An army of what? They're not coming here to stabilize America. They're being brought here to destabilize white, heterosexual, Christian America. That's why Obama is sitting with the chessboard, putting them in areas that are predominantly white, Christian, Republican. Why don't you ask Chuck Todd about that and see if he gets upset, that beard? Take a look at the chessboard that the sorority is using and see where they're placing the refugees, and you'll understand what's going on here and how he has usurped all the power of the presidency that he was ever entitled to, and he is robbing our Constitution from us, robbing our very heritage from us right in front of our eyes like a grand thief. Grand auto theft, only this is grand nation theft right in front of your eyes. Savage Nation, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Well, we've been talking about radical Catholicism today on the Savage Nation and how we must focus on it because we know that radical Islam is a danger to the world's stability. And we have basically all focused on this, rightly so. Not strongly enough, obviously, and importing more Muslims, many of whom will be radicals, is suicidal, of course. That's part of the debate ongoing with everyone except the government media complex or the New Reich. Nick on WABC, make your point quickly, please. Time is short.
Yes, shame on you for saying or equating so-called radical Catholicism with radical Islam when we have, and, you know, not, you know, radical Judaism, which is, you know, the synagogue of Satan, what we have last night on the Emmys, this vulgar display.
Wait. Now you're jumping all over the map. So you want to now do an Ann Coulter on me? Is that it?
No.
Who are you attacking, me or Jews? Who are you attacking, though? You're mad because I called him Lenin's Pope? Is that what's bothering you?
I'm mad because you ignore this cultural holocaust, which
Hold it. Don't turn it to the Jews now. The Jews are not coming here through the Pope. The Pope is pushing a false ideology that the church itself opposed for a long time. So which side are you on? Are you on the side of communism or capitalism?
You don't understand that.
Oh, I don't understand. Who are you, Nick, that you understand things I don't understand? Let me explain something to you. You say that radical Catholicism cannot be compared to radical Islam. Isn't that your main point?
Yes.
Okay, let me answer it very succinctly, and I want you to think about it, Nick, before responding. Bombs kill people. Radical ideas kill nations. The Pope has radical ideas, which are in many ways more dangerous than bombs. You can protect yourself against bombs and bomb throwers more readily than you can protect yourself against radical ideas being put forward by a nice, kindly old man. Do you understand, Nick, why the danger is so great?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for calling. I'm glad I helped you with that. These are very powerful times. Very powerful times indeed. For Jewish people around the world, of whom there are only 9 million, we have the end of the year 57 something or other. I don't know what the year is. I lost 75, I think. Let me see if I remember that. 5775 is ending for the Jewish people around the world on Tuesday night. At sundown, there begins the new Jewish era of 5776. That means the religion has been in place for 5,776 years. And many people don't know much about their own religion, let alone Judaism. Most Jews are clueless about their own religion. And even secular Jews like Larry David might go to, I'm guessing now, would go to a synagogue once or twice a year. They go on Yom Kippur, they hang around, they mock everyone. They're the jesters in the back of the synagogue. Yeah, they're sitting there, look at that, man, laughing at the guy with the yarmulke and the tallis. We all know the synagogue jester. They're people too, but, and most of them are in Hollywood, of course. They're mocking not only their religion, but they mock the nation that made their fortunes for them. But how do you figure that one out? But nevertheless, so sundown tomorrow night, people go on a fast for 24 hours, and they're supposed to atone for their sins, something that many religions do on a much more frequent basis, by the way, than once a year. I find it odd. Many religions have fast day, many more than one. I mean, Jews have more than one fast day, but it's the one that most Jews know is the Yom Kippur day. So even the most secular Jew, think of Bernie Sanders, a man who's non-observant, he might go into a synagogue to pick up a few votes. And, oh, they'd applaud him. They'd be all, oh, that's Bernie Sanders. Senator, he might be president. He's one of us. There'd be a hushed tone as the crumpled tie salesman walks into the great synagogue. So we're coming upon this powerful day for so many people on earth, not only Jews, but many Christians who love the Jewish people, of whom there are many, mainly fundamentalist Jews, not the Catholic who just called. He's a stone-hearted anti-Semite, always has been. Tries to turn the Pope, and now all of a sudden, I should go and attack Hollywood. Who's done it more than me for 21 years? I don't know who they are. I don't know that they're Satan's sons and daughters. I don't know that. You don't have to tell me that. I know who they are. They're drug addicts and deviants of the lowest order. I've been fighting them for 21 years. I mean, who's done the Hollywood idiot better than me? So please don't tell me about that. So I was trying to take inventory for myself. I don't know why every September is like the beginning of the year, the end of the year for all of us. And I said, you know, I'm a little tired lately. I can't deal with the world when I see a president as mad as this, getting away with what he's getting away with. It's starting to weigh on me. You know, Atlas shrugged. I'm not Atlas. So I wrote down what I'm working on. 1, government zero release and promotion. 2, journal book, final edits. That's 65,000 words, due in winter 2016. 3, 8mm film editing. From 1969 till the present. 4, new book, top secret. 5, immunity handbook, final copy due. Teddy book due spring 2016. My science fiction novel, a digital edition for downloads with my watercolors. The detective, edit and have it illustrated. 9, Tiburon, the novella. That's about 100,000 words being typed. 10, Leaving New York, a novella, about 80,000 words being typed. my collected watercolors. I'm trying to put them in some order. So those are the 11 things that I'm working on. And I hope you wish me a good year, because I wish you a good year.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
Blue Monday.
Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday.
It is. The fact that the retrovirus in the White House has found an ally to amplify his agenda in Rome. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The retrovirus on Friday says he's going to bring in, with the stroke of a pen, 10,000 Muslims. By Saturday morning, it's 100,000 Muslims, because there wasn't a peep from the drunk. By Sunday, him and Kerry got together, had a big laugh, and said, we're bringing in 200,000 Muslims from war-torn Syria. 70% of whom are single males of a military age, almost no women and children. No one stops him. Boehner says dealing with conservatives, how do you do it? He says even garbage men get used to the smell of bad garbage. That's the opposition party in the new Soviet America. And I explained that the Obama administration is Mao-like. I explained it last Friday. I said that the Pope is part of the problem. Attacks capitalism, attacks air conditioning, uses air conditioning and capitalism. The Vatican has the largest reserve of gold in the world. They don't sell it to help the poor. The Vatican is filled with some of the greatest art in history. They could sell it off and raise money for the poor. The day the Pope takes 1,000 Syrians into the Vatican is the day I'll believe a word he says. The day the Pope turns off the air conditioning in the papal jet or Alitalia in honor of the Pope's message, turns off air conditioning on the flight from Rome. Yeah. That's the day. Then we look at Argentina. Argentina, the Pope's homeland, once had the 14th highest GDP. Then they went into radical redistribution plans. It's now the 63rd GDP of the world. How do radicals, how do Catholics who are thinking Catholics put up with this man? How do they not look through him? Well, I mean, you can't respect the man who's trying to take away your freedom, can you? You have to say, what, he's holy? Why is he? What made him holy? He's just a man. If we learn anything in America, we don't worship royalty. We don't worship religious royalty. We don't worship secular royalty. We don't worship royalty. So that's what we talked about. And then there was a man who took umbrage last hour. And he said, how dare you call it radical Catholicism and equate it to radical Islam. And he tried to launch into an Ann Coulter on me attacking Jews in Hollywood, which was kind of idiotic because that's not the issue. And I said, it's very simple, because bombs kill people. And you can defend yourself more readily against bombs because you can almost see the bomb maker and the bomb thrower more readily than radical ideas, which can kill nations, which I thought was quite good. That's all. And now here we are in hour number three. 855-407-2282 is a phone number. Argentina is the question. Facts of Argentina, what's happened in Argentina, and how it's gone down. The GDP has gone straight down in the toilet as a result of the redistribution policies being practiced there, and also the liberation theological practices as professed by Obama's Christian preacher, Reverend Wright, and now Obama's Pope. He is Obama's Pope, now that I think about it. I don't know what Obama's Christian sect is. Does anyone know? Was Reverend Wright, they're not Catholic, are they, Robert? I don't really know. I don't mean in any disparaging. I don't know. Does anyone know Reverend Wright? What did he profess other than Marxism and a hatred of American white people? I know he hated America, the preacher. Sat there for 20 years and then said he didn't know what he was saying. Imagine Obama sat in the church for 20 years. And then when it became a scandal, he said, I didn't know what he was saying, and we quit. Amazing. Members of Congress warned not to touch Pope. That's an interesting story. Members of Congress warned not to touch Pope. This is in roll call. Members will be blocked two ways from touching the Pope, Pope Francis. Too many members of Congress cannot be trusted to behave themselves when Pope Francis comes to the Capitol. The congressional leadership has decided. And so to enforce decorous discipline, some extraordinary measures are being ready. Each party is assembling teams of lawmakers to essentially act as blocking tackles, willing to restrain any of their colleagues intent on trying to reach out for a papal touch as he walks onto the floor of the House. After the historic speech by Lenin's Pope, the doors to the cloakrooms and the hallways will be blocked or locked to prevent lawmakers from leaving the chamber for half an hour until Francis has appeared on the West Front balcony to greet the ticketed throng and then has departed the Hill by motorcade. Motorcade? Not run on banana peels, not on a donkey notice. All that carbon just for him. And I don't think they're turning the air conditioning off in that chamber of heat. The hottest chamber on earth, the Congress, will not turn off the air conditioning for the anti-air conditioning Pope. Coverage begins Thursday, September 24th at 9:30 a.m. A reflection of the unique protocol, security, and political concerns attended the first papal address to a joint meeting of Congress. Of course it's the first papal address. It's unheard of. But because he is a Marxist in accord with the Democrat National Socialists, they've invited him. And the drunk had nothing to say. He said, "What, Pope? Yeah, sure, whatever you say, Barry. Yeah, whatever. You got the Johnny Walker down in Jacksonville for me?" So they're not allowed to touch him. No fist bumps. No kissing the papal ring. No touching the hem of his cassock. Let's see. No glad handing or hugging him. That's amazing. Posting the Capitol Police or Swiss guards in the aisles would look awful. So leadership is looking for about 50 members known for their patience and institutional good manner. In other words, the thugs in suits. They're not going to have police or guards to guard the man of peace. Instead, they'll have thugs in suits, men in black. They have to wear dark colors with hems below the knee for women, as papal protocol dictates. I mean, the big scream here is going to be the atheists. Like, what's that one from Florida? That Yenta, the one who's protecting Hillary from any debates. I can't imagine how she's going to go hysterical with the Pope. Da-da-da-da-da, Pope. Democrats are telling lies of Representative Elliot Engel of New York and Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas. Republicans are telegraphing to folks such as Reps Billy Long of Missouri that their well-honed spot-saving tactics for presidential appearances won't work for this event. Oh, when they go down the aisle and they're all right there and they shake. So they don't get a second of FaceTime with the guest of honor. Smartphone selfies, flash photography, and cheering by the members are also being vigorously discouraged. But the Vatican has relented and decreed that a standing ovation remains appropriate while the great man Francis makes his way to the well and then ascends the rostrum. Is that where the word well drink comes from? He's very familiar with the well from his years as a bartender. He knows what a well drink is. And since most of them are drunks there, that's why they call it the well. After that, genuine silence, not so much as an audible amen, will be expected from every corner of the chamber. This is not only to allow the great man to deliver his speech on a tight timeline, but also to prevent any of the applause. Oh, thank God for that. Oh, thank God there's no applause for every time he burps. Thank God we'll actually be able to hear him. The Pope's schedule is a tight one. To boost the odds he'll stay on, he's likely to avoid the lawmakers altogether after his address and exits through the Speaker's lobby. While the members and the holders of the coveted seats in the visitors gallery remain on lockdown, Pope will pass through Statuary Hall, where he can get glimpsed by the former members and other second-tier dignitaries who have been watching on TV. His next stop will be back in the office of Speaker John Boehner of Ohio. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Are you on a shot there? No one's looking. With whom we'll meet one-on-one. And, of course, Pelosi, one of the most religious people in the history of the world. Didn't she wash the feet of illegal aliens? Maybe she'll talk about her preferred soap or something. Then she's going to meet the wonderful, esteemed Harry Reid, the Pope. He's a clean-up. Oh, God in heaven. This is really bad. And then at 11 a.m., Pope's supposed to get into his car and head to the next stop, St. Patrick's at 10th and G. the oldest Roman Catholic parish in the city, created in 1794 to serve mostly Irish immigrant craftsmen, building the Capitol and the White House. Irish built it? Who would have thunk? I thought Muslims would have built the White House. I thought Obama said that Muslims created NASA and the White House. I didn't know that Irish immigrants built the Capitol and the White House. Shows you my ignorance. I would have thought it was Muslims. 60 parishioners chosen by lottery, plus 250 clients and volunteers from the downtown outpost of Catholic Charities have been promised FaceTime. Catholic Charities is just a business, by the way. Okay, so there's the thing. He's coming on Yom Kippur, which is unto itself very interesting. He's speaking to the UN on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish year. So I guess he wanted a pick good day to pick. They made me get a schedule. Oh, I can't wait till this week is over. I knew this would be a tough week. I knew it was going to be a rough week. Man, I knew it was tough. I just knew it. In France, Obama finds an ally to amplify his agenda to the public, says Bloomberg. Poverty, immigration, climate change. Pontiff's agenda dovetails with that of President Zero. And some of his advisors are looking to France's arrival in the U.S. on Tuesday as a way to lift the prospects of getting the unfinished work of his presidency done. God save us from his unfinished work. While Francis has the potential to... Okay, I don't want to read any more of this. He was in Cuba, and he stiffed the dissidents. They were beaten up by thugs and thrown into the back of a black van, while the great holy man said nothing. Look the other way. The Pope's first public mass in the U.S. will be given in Spanish, highlighting his connection with the country's Hispanic immigrants. Isn't that nice? And after decrying savage capitalism, he goes to New York, the global center of finance. And at the UN and at Congress, the air conditioning will not be turned off. So here we are. Here we are, all you good Catholics out there. I don't know how educated Catholics can put up with this without seeing what's going on in their own church. I mean, look, we attack radical Islam on a daily basis. We understand the danger of radical Islam. And many Muslims will say, we all oppose radical Islam. Most Muslims are peace-loving. We don't want the radicals. You have to believe them. You have to believe CAR that they're not a radical group themselves, that they really do oppose radical Islam. And just because they want to tell Ben Carson to drop out of the race for daring to say he doesn't think a Muslim should be president doesn't make them radicals, not in their own mind. No, they're not radicals at all. They have a right to tell anyone what they think. They think Ben Carson should drop out because he said a Muslim shouldn't be president. So just as many Muslims say that they're not radicals, I would think that many Catholics say that they're not radicals either. How do they fight such a pope who has been foisted upon them by secret powers? It's amazing. What do you do? Probably you keep quiet for fear that you'll be ostracized. You don't say a word. You curtsy, you bow, you cater. You don't utter a word. The king has no clothes. You don't say that. You don't dare say the king has no clothes. Because in this case, the papal king does have clothes. It's a red garment. And you know what? I think we've seen it before. In fact, when the Pope comes and he speaks, I think we're going to play the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. Well, anyway, that's just a thought, trying to put the music together, putting music to his words. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is 24 minutes after the hour, the third hour of the Savage Nation. Let's go right to a caller in New York City, WABC. Patricia, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I totally, as a Catholic, am opposed to this pope. I'm opposed to the message of hate that this man is spreading. And when I say that, what I mean is he is saying we need to hate rich people. We need to, I mean, what's next? Is somebody finally going to come out and say the words that we need to hate success? And
yes,
we need to hate...
That's right. The Pope is a hate monger. I'm glad you said it, not me. But, you know, he's as clever as Obama in his dissemination of hatred. Notice they don't scream and yell. They're no longer using the Che Guevara methodology.
you know, Mao Zedong said power comes out of the barrel of a gun. I would say power comes out of the barrel of a pun just as effectively. So the Pope does it with the Soft Shoe Act. Nice man, kindly old man, Obama. Nice man, kindly minority. Notice they never scream and yell? There's no longer a Stalin-esque yelling, or more specifically, a Hitler-like screaming and yelling. There's no longer a Mussolini-like on a balcony. No, no, no. It's not Lenin screaming in a town square. It's done nice. Everything's done nice. They had good coaches, Obama and him. They get it all through being nice, because the people are afraid of loud men, and they think loud men are bad men. And soft, quiet men are good men. The average person is a moron. But what's your main point? The Pope is disseminating hatred with his class warfare, is what you're saying, correct?
Yes, I do believe that. And I also believe, I am so scared. We're now going, not me, but they, he, the church, and along with all, the entire left, is now indoctrinating the children to feel the exact same way. You see the interview.
Patricia, did you hear me summarize Chapter 8 of Government Zero, called Zero Religion, Lenin's Pope? Did you hear any of that in the early part of the show?
Yes.
I am going to send you one of the first copies that, when they come off the press, for one reason. I hope you are so encouraged by the many, many pages I have on Lenin's Pope that you will send your copy or buy another copy for a Catholic friend who is fairly well-educated but quite ignorant about what this Pope is and what his agenda is. My only hope is to try and save the world. I'm trying to do it through the Catholics now. It dawned on me today that because of the controversy of this Pope, maybe the Catholics with intelligence can get the word out as to who he is. So stay on the line. Give us your address. I'm going to send you a copy of Government Zero. It won't be out for another month. I don't want to go off too soon on it. Yes, she said it, not I. Hatred can be disseminated in the quietest of ways. They don't do it with anger anymore. Anger doesn't work. The minute you raise your voice like a man, you're attacked as being a bigot and a this and a that. But all you got to do is whisper it. Sly whispers in the halls of Congress. And then the enemy within plies his trade. Look how well it's worked. Has Harry Reid ever yelled? That quiet, nice man from Nevada. And look how good he is. Notice this? The most despotic of individuals never yell. Have you noticed that? I never trusted whisperers. I like loud men. I trust loud men more than whisperers, by the way. That's why my best friend is a dog. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. They want access to the despot. Try to trip up Trump. And the more they attacked him, the higher he went up in polls, because people know he's speaking the truth. I think it's a fair question to ask, is the Pope a true Catholic? Because his politics are not that of a Catholic Church. His politics are that of Che Guevara, combined with Bernie Sanders. Like Bernie Sanders and Che Guevara in one. Here in San Francisco, of course, we have a heat wave. It's like the summer of Sam here. You don't want to be in downtown San Francisco today around the bums. That's all I can tell you. I wish they'd bring back the water trucks. The stink of the urine and the fecal matter is beyond belief. 88 degrees. I was supposed to drop to 68 tomorrow. The fog's coming, and we call it marine layer. I thank God I was going to go back by Friday. Oh, my God. A nightmare. 88 is very hot for here. I always used to joke when I was on the air that I used to love to see German tourists in shorts shivering with the hair standing up on their legs as the fog blew up their shorts. Because I used to wear a scarf and a pea coat in the summer. I loved August. Horrible now. I mean, the norm here is 56 to 74 this time of year. But the record was a low of 45, by the way. Oh, what I love a 45er. And a high of 95. Max 95. So we're not at a max yet. That was probably before the Model T Ford. The 95er probably hit before Jerry Brown came along. And the hot air coming out of his mouth probably drove the mean temperature of the state up by a degree. I got to tell you, you know, if you study climatology as I have, by no means an expert, but more than most people, and I can read data. In 1875, I think that was long before the car, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think so. Long before the internal or infernal combustion engine, in about 1875, it was so hot in the Central Valley of California, you see, that the cornfields exploded into flames. Right? It's true. Before there were meth labs. in the Central Valley. The heat, you see. Well, you could blame it on the Industrial Revolution, which had occurred several hundred years before. It was those damn Brits and those factories over there in Manchester that did it. But then again, the Pope didn't know about that then, and he couldn't blame industrialization, so they waited for this one to blame air conditioning. So here we are. I mean, it is good to live in interesting times. Sometimes you say, how can you go on in radio like this with this depressing situation going on in the world? A communist in the White House, a communist in the Vatican, wherever you turn, it's like the idiot Bernie Sanders now, the crumpled old loser. I told you, he's a product of the Hillary campaign. Write that down. You'll hear it tomorrow on the Rush Limbaugh show through a caller. He's a creation of the Clinton machine. If Bernie Sanders wasn't helping put her up in the polls by making her look more centrist, do you think he'd last a day? What, are you crazy? He may as well be working for her as a warm-up act. Say, bring him out. He espouses the same liberation theology as the Pope. And he gets college audiences to swoon. And then she comes along and says she's a centrist because she's only a leftist. So he's a creation of her machine. I don't mean they created them. You don't have to look too far to find them. They're as common in universities as is, it's a family show on the lawn. I just fill in the word after a party. But I think it was Harry Truman who defined political correctness in the following way. It's like trying to pick up dog droppings from the clean end. Yeah, I think it was Harry Truman, but I'm not quite sure of that. That's what political correctness is, trying to pick up dog droppings from the clean end. Write it down. I don't know whether Harry actually said it. But I do love Hour 3 of the Savage Nation. And here we are at Hour 3 of the Savage Nation. 855-407-282. God, it's hot here. Thank God I'm violating the Pope's protocols. I'm running my air conditioner. I wouldn't be able to do this show. Was it not for the evil white male who invented air conditioning, this show wouldn't even be happening. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the evil white man who invented radio, come to think of it, it wasn't for the evil white male and the capitalist who developed the microphones, you wouldn't be able to listen to me. I guess that's one of the reasons that the Pope and the other Marxists hate capitalism so much, is because it makes ideas spread too rapidly. How are you going to take people back to the 15th century if they can communicate? I think you ought to attack the internet next as ungodly. If it wasn't his church who would put people to death because they believed that the earth was the center of the universe? Oh, yeah, I think so. The same church that had 96% of scientists at the time proving beyond a reasonable doubt that the earth was the center of the universe. And those poor scientists who dissented, wow, they didn't get any grants from the Vatican. No, sorry, Bob. Those grants didn't come rolling it down from the Vatican to any scientist who had data to the contrary, showing that the sun was actually the center of the universe. In fact, if the scientists spoke out too freely, they were usually killed, very much along the lines of what your liberal professors are demanding be done now by Government Zero. Did you know that some of your liberal professors demanded that RICO statutes be enacted against scientists who say that global warming is not established science? Can you believe we've fallen this far in American history that so-called scientists have become nothing but fascist martinets? Yeah, well, of course they always have been. That's why they're scientists. If they could make a living, they'd be in the private sector. They wouldn't have to collect a grant and a kowtow in Washington to get their grants to prove false science. So we're living in very dangerous times. And I don't know, we come out of this or not, hard to say. I know this, the Catholic Church is a nightmare right now. They fought communism in the 80s. They opposed communists and communism. And now we have a communist pope. So, it's a pretty crazy time. That's why people are troubled. So they're tuning out of politics. They're saying it's too complicated. That's what we're focusing on the weather. And it's so hot. I'll tell you, there's one good thing about the heat, getting back to the weather, is that I generally never drive in a convertible. Anyone drives in a convertible in the heat, I think, is psychotic. I don't understand it. I see bald men driving around with their tops down in the heat, going, delicious. What are they, like skin cancer of the head? But anyway, I have a convertible. I never use it because I hate the sun. It's like a poison to me. It's like a death machine. But thank God for the heat, because at 9 o'clock at night, when the heat finally drops a little bit, I do drop the top and take Teddy for a ride, as I did last night. I got to tell you, there's something beautiful about being on a country road with a dog and listening to the hum of your engine. There's something really amazing about it as you downshift from 6 to 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1 on a highly tuned Italian engine. I only drive that car when there's a heat wave at night. Otherwise, it sits in the garage and smiles at me. And I don't want the Pope to know anything about it. Even though the car is Italian, I don't want him to know about it, because it does have air conditioning, I must admit. But I think that the papal vehicles must also be air conditioned somehow. I somehow think that it's like Jane Fonda used to espouse environmentalism as well, but people said she was a hypocrite because of the way she lived. And then there was the issue of Barbara Streisand 20 years ago espousing the dangers and the evils of air conditioning, while she lived in a house that required the energy equivalent of an entire province of India just for her to brush her teeth in the morning. So, is there anything new under the sun other than liberal hypocrisy? No. So what do we do? How do we survive this? I mean, people don't know what to do. Well, first you mock them. The last thing we have left is mocking Obama and mocking the Pope. The day we can no longer mock them for their hypocrisy is the day we're living in a dictatorship. So mock them, if you will. Don't be so intimidated by them. Just stop it already. They're only men. And the world will survive them. And they'll be forgotten. They will be forgotten. Trust me, they will be forgotten. It will all go away like a bad nightmare, I hope. That is, unless he continues to flood America with Muslims, then, hey, we don't really know. We don't really know, do we? Now that we think about it, Friday night he said, I'm going to bring in 10,000 Muslims from Syria. People were shocked. By Saturday morning, woke up, had a light breakfast, something suitable for a thin man. No meat, of course, no eggs, no potatoes, probably not even coffee, probably drank chai, probably had some chai tea and a complimentary cereal of some kind to go with his New Age diet. And he said, you know what, 10,000 isn't enough, and no one said anything. All right, get the mic going. I'm going to bring in 100,000 Syrian refugees, mainly Muslim men. No opposition. They couldn't wake up John Boehner, the drunk. He was in a deep sleep from the night before. So he figured no one said anything. He called up John Kerry, and they said, well, let's try 200,000 on Sunday and see what happens. Sunday morning, after a night out in the town Saturday, the president got up and went to the presidential radio room, and he said, I'm going to bring in 200,000 Syrian Muslims, mainly men of military age, very few women and children. Again, there was no opposition anywhere to be found. And so somebody sat down and wrote a fable called The King Has No Clothes. The problem was is that if you put the past together with the present, you come up with the future, and that's not a pretty sight to look at. So here we go to the callers on the Savage Nation. I don't know that I want to go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm just having a kind of nice time, not a great time, a good time. Quieter time than normal on the Savage Nation. Now is the time to get down and fight. And the best way to fight is to fight them on their own turf. And that's with the truth. Truth, sarcasm will always win. And boy, do we need more truth and sarcasm for this false prophet from Rome. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Climate change? That's his expertise? Attacking our economic system when it's our economic system that has lifted more people out of poverty than any other system ever tried in the history of the world? Yeah, well, be careful. Immigration, of course, you know why the church is in favor of massive immigration, especially from South America, Mexico and Central America. It's because they're Catholics and they need to fill up the pews, because most Americans have walked away from the church owing to the molestation scandal and for other reasons. So they need to fill the pews again. There's a lot of money invested in the bricks and mortar. So where do you get them from? You import them. He would go so far as even to cater to Cuba, because there's an audience there that could kick up to the Vatican. Now you think about this. Here's a guy, goes to Cuba, and here's a Cuba that's a prison camp. It's a death camp. And he goes to Cuba and doesn't, not only do they not let dissidents in, they beat them up and throw them in prison today. Yeah, didn't make it to the Chronicle, did they? Look at the pictures on the Drudge Report of the dissidents. By the way, they're of color. I don't know how you say that. I mean, they're dissidents of color being beaten up by thugs of color. If you look at the picture, it's kind of a paradox. It's very hard for liberals to understand how to compute that. If you go to the Drudge Report, the pictures were, I hope it's still up. Let me go back. It's gone already. I think it's up to Walker out. Earlier, I had a Walker on a motorcycle. Matt changed it already. Go back to the other one. It was better. He had a picture of dissidents in Cuba, a lady of color and a man of color, being beaten up by thugs of color, Castro's killers, and thrown into some roving van because they wanted to protest the prison camp of Cuba. The Pope ignored them completely, the man of peace. That's all. And now he comes to America. A Pope to the White House? A Pope in front of Congress? How is this even possible? How is it even possible? It would be strange enough that a Pope would address Congress, but that a communist Pope would address a Congress like this? This is unbelievable to me. American Catholics, largely of Irish, Italian, Polish, and Hispanic extraction, have been accused of having more loyalty to Rome than their homeland. Long-term fears. The United States has had a long history of anti-Catholicism since the first settlers were mostly Protestants who brought with them their disdain for Catholicism, said Thomas Rees, a senior analyst for National Catholic Reporter. They also feared that if Catholics ever got power, they would impose their religion on the country. The Know-Nothings, the KKK, and anti-immigrant movements were all anti-Catholic. Oh, that's intriguing. I see. So the next thing is anyone who attacks the Pope is going to be a Ku Klux Klan member. Okay, so that's the script. I got it. So the next script for guys like Politico, the Beard, whatever his name is, Chuck Beard, and the Woodpecker will be, your anti-Pope message resonates with that of the Ku Klux Klan. Are you now, or have you ever supported the Ku Klux Klan, Mr. Trump? I see. That's okay. They got the message. They're going to give him a little training over the next night or two. All right, call up the guy, that bearded one, that schmuck that I let him in once in a while, and get that other idiot, the Woodpecker there from CNN. Get him in here. We got a new script for them. It's the Ku Klux Klan and Trump. All right, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Let me put it to you this way. When it comes to issues like abortion, homosexual marriage, things like that, all right, fine, I could see the church having an opinion on that. Because it's pretty clear what the moral issues are on those issues. When the church stands for something or doesn't. But when it comes to global warming or climate change, where there's absolutely no proof whatsoever that it's anthropogenic in its generation or that man is destroying the earth, for this Pope, this false Pope, to get up there without any proof whatsoever, moreover, no definitive proof whatsoever. No definitive proof. This is the church, remember, that killed people for saying that the earth was not the center of the universe. This is the same church that now is joining those who say that if you don't agree with us on global warming, you should be excommunicated from the scientific community, you should lose your grants, and now a few of the crackpots in the university are saying that the government should bring the RICO statutes against scientists who disagree with the lie of global warming. The church, by the way, used to require that Catholics, if they came into power, made Catholicism the state religion. Did you know that? But after the Second Vatican Council in 1961, that changed. Future Catholic presidents did not have to make Catholicism the state religion, right? So then 1979, Jimmy Carter became a president. Pope John Paul II came to the White House for the first time. But these meetings were little more than symbolic gestures with little political substance, and nobody objected to it. It was a nice thing. John II was a nice guy, visited the White House, visited Carter, no one said anything. And then Ronald Reagan, John Paul II, both were vehemently anti-communist. Now all of a sudden we have a communist Marxist president, a communist Marxist Pope, and they have a meeting of the minds, and they're out to take Pelham 1-2-3. I can't wait to see the atheist who spit on the church a year ago, bowing on Wednesday and Thursday.